Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
I love the Christmas story because it is full of the unexpected. It is full of the delightfully topsy-turvy. Here comes the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us. And it happens in the most extraordinary and unexpected of ways. A virgin becomes a mother. Even poor Saint Joseph is a little surprised by this and has to wait on the Lord to explain things. The child is born unexpectedly out of town. They're not ready for it. They can barely find room. The kid isn't even born in a house. They have to accept a stable, a manger, as a temporary shelter. Here comes the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And who is he greeted by? First, the poorest of the poor. Oh, sure, the kings come later. The Magi will eventually make it from this side of the sanctuary to that side. By next week, they've got all week, they'll do it. But those are foreign kings. He's not greeted by his own. In fact, you shouldn't introduce him to King Herod, who has evil designs on the child. All of this happens in the most unexpected of ways. In a world that prizes the physical, what you can see, the external, the superficial, and wealth, honor, and power, and pleasure, here comes the King of Kings who intentionally chooses poverty and simplicity. Here is the one spoken of in that first reading of Isaiah, who will delight in us, who will rejoice in us, who will vindicate us, who will be our Savior. And here we get an infant who we have to care for. What a marvelous way to win us over, as we often mistrust God's intentions, God's will, God's plans, God's power over us. And here comes an infant Savior who we have to care for and protect. This is the one who will save us, who will espouse us, who will lead us to a greater unity and ultimately the kingdom of heaven. This whole season is a lesson in the extraordinary, hidden in the ordinary, disguised. Can we look with the eyes of faith? Can we look to see the dawn of a new era, a new heaven and a new earth breaking forth, maybe quietly, but breaking forth in our lives and our families? Can we look with the eyes of faith and see beyond it? Can we look for Christ in one another and see that which isn't readily seen? For that reason, I have to say, of all the Christmas movies and other things that we might watch to get us ready for the season, I have to favor It's a Wonderful Life, because it is a lesson in God's providence of the extraordinary hidden in the ordinary, with the fictional character of George Bailey, who's quite put upon, has great hopes and dreams, wants to leave town, never look back, be college educated, wants to be an architect, build skyscrapers and great monuments to himself, and he never, ever gets any of his dreams, never reaches a single dream. In fact, he can't even get out of town on his own honeymoon. Nothing goes right. He is frustrated to the point of despair. And at that moment of despair, the Lord finally gives him a glimpse in how the Lord writes straight on crooked lines. And that his life, which we thought was a miserable failure, turns out to be a huge success in the most odd way. That the Lord has used him to be a savior figure for his own town, for his own people, to save the town. And he never saw it. And with the greatest of irony, his younger brother toasts him at the end of the movie to my big brother George, the richest man in town. Rich in all the ways that matter to God, in laying down your life for the good of others. There is a Christian theme in that movie that runs deep. For all the things that happen to us, even the trials and tribulations, especially the trials and tribulations, God wastes nothing. And frankly, it's usually the challenges that test our mettle, that refine our virtue, that force us to choose what are we living for? What are our true values? What's it all about? What are we living for? Are we living for the stuff? Or is there something deeper? Are we going to look for the extraordinary disguised by the ordinary and everyday? This Christmas season is a challenge to look with the eyes of the faith. And as we listen to this nativity story, this Christmas story that we are so familiar with, may we look for those themes of Christmas in our daily lives and how subtle God is to hide something so valuable, so infinitely precious in the midst of the ordinary, where even the Herod the Greats can't find. First of all, I hope with the eyes of faith, as we look around as the season, we treasure all the more our friendship with God. There's so many family and friends and loved ones and people we do want to see in the season. May we, for all the busyness, take our time to worship, take our time to pray, take our time to treasure the greatest of all friendships, the one that leads to life and life eternal. And yes, we oftentimes focus way too much on the stuff, maybe on our phones, on the things that really do not love us in return. May we treasure this infinite love, the greatest of all loves in the entire universe. And again, hear those words of the prophet Isaiah in that first reading, that God delights in us. God rejoices in us. God loves us. God wants to espouse us, draw us into a family relationship for all eternity. May we treasure our friendship with God. Secondly, for things that we don't see clearly, the gift of our soul. We see the body, we experience the mind, but the only thing that we take from this world is our soul. That's it. What's the thing we need to invest in the most, to treasure, to feed spiritually, to nourish spiritually? Although we will be well nourished, I'm sure, in a lot of other ways physically. But to treasure the spiritual, treasure our souls. How are we doing? Especially as we look to a new year and New Year's resolutions, how are we caring for our spiritual health and well-being? Are we taking the time to pray? Are we taking the time to worship and the sacraments? Are we taking time to confess our sins? Are we taking time to learn our faith and to love our faith so as to share it better? Do we treasure the gift of our immortal souls? Do we care for those souls so as to bring them to a greater glory? We are created in the image and likeness of God. Jesus wants to make each and every one of us another Christ, to shine like the stars in the sky, to be saints that go out and transform the world merely by even our presence, that people see in us, in our love, in our mercy, in our forgiveness, something extraordinary. May we treasure the gift of divine life in our souls and feed it and nourish it well in this new year to come. Thirdly, the gift of family. I hope you are able to be gathered with loved ones, and that is a precious time. And our families are different. Some of our families are huge. Some of our families are very small. Some of us might feel like we are not very close to our families. Maybe some of our families are a little dysfunctional at the moment and need more reconciliation and more healing, and we pray for that. Do pray for your loved ones. Pray for your family. But in this season of Christmas, we see Emmanuel, God with us, enter not only into our humanity, into our human nature, not only into our world to redeem it from the inside out, but to enter and be raised by a human family. So as to make of us, all the peoples, all the languages, all the nations, one family in Christ, a greater family. And so whatever our family status is, may we treasure the gift of our Christian family. May we support that Christian family, our parish family in Christ, and build it up, especially by our presence, to make the church visible as we are very much today. May we treasure the gift of our family in Christ and pray for one another and support one another on this journey of faith until the kingdom. We're not there yet. In fact, Christmas Day is a day that we also should remember and pray for our family departed. By tradition, and many saints will attest to it, that more souls leave purgatory on Christmas Day than even All Souls Day. What a Christmas gift to the Christ child. Pray for your family and your friends and your loved ones departed on this holy day. Let us send them the gift of our prayers and our sacrifices and our love. May they inherit the kingdom. One last thing, fourthly, as we talk about the gift of our fellowship with God, the gift of our souls and divine life, the gift of our family in Christ, the gift of the Eucharist that nourishes our divine life, that unites us as one in the body of Christ. Jesus came to walk among us physically, but he left us an abiding presence to be with us. Here is Jesus truly present in the tabernacle under sacramental forms. And again, it's the extraordinary hidden in the ordinary in the most amazing way. The bread, the wine, it looks the same before consecration and after consecration. And yet, we believe what Jesus says. This is my body, this is my blood. And 2,000 years of Eucharistic miracles have confirmed that in so many wonderful ways that Jesus meant it. He wants to nourish us on his own divine life. He doesn't want us to walk alone. He doesn't want us to walk under our own strength. He doesn't want to fight us to fight our temptations without support. You are what you eat. The Lord wants to share his divine life with us through this great sacrament of unity, to overcome our sinfulness, to overcome our division, to bring us to one as a foretaste of the unity which he ultimately hopes to bring us to in heaven, if we will cooperate with him in faith. And so all of these extraordinary graces are hidden in the ordinary. Can't always see heaven, don't get to see our guardian angels, we don't get to see our souls and all the graces operative. So much is hidden behind that which is human and exterior. This is the day to look with the eyes of faith as we approach a new year together. Poor King Herod had literally the Star of Bethlehem over his palace, couldn't see it, wasn't looking up, he was looking down. He was looking to his territory, he was looking to his power, he was looking to his authority, he was looking to his own little stronghold. He missed it out. He missed out on the King of Kings, misunderstood God's intentions entirely. May we look with the eyes of faith to look for Christ in one another, to look for the best in one another, even in our broken world, and for that which is broken and still being transformed. Let's pray for that transformation with all patience and charity. And may we support one another on this journey as one family in Christ, supported and nourished by the Eucharist, making our souls into saints with fellowship toward God, that we might be in that unity of the kingdom for all eternity. Christ has come to us as the way, the truth, and the life to lead us back home to the Father. May God bless and keep you. Merry Christmas.